This is not in order, but when Oral said God spoke to me, and a lot of people would say, oh, Oral can actually hear God, he was talking in his mind that God talked to him as he talked to you.
Yeah.
It was all that spiritual talk.
Yeah.
God talked to him.
Absolutely.
Did you ever, and I know you didn't expect the whole world to come down on you, but it, in a way it must have seemed that way. Did you ever begin to doubt your epiphany and wondering, well, maybe this is not actually correct the way I'm thinking? Did you doubt it?
I never doubted the way I felt, but I doubted the way I was thinking, because I believe in deception, that I could have been deceived. I never felt deceived by God. I never felt that what I was saying, it didn't grate against my spirit. But my mind, I was battling between what my soul or my cells literally knew and what my mind thought. That was my big battle.
Did you ever think, maybe I just need to go back on the pulpit and say, you know what, I think I was deceived in my thinking, and I'm no longer supporting the gospel of inclusion. I'm coming back to what I was.
I only thought of that when I was so poor that I knew if I changed my message, I could become a millionaire.
Okay, and I was going to ask you that, because this had to affect you financially.
It did.
In a big way?
Profound way. I lost everything.
You lost house, cars?
401k, everything in the bank. I still don't own a home. I'm just trying to buy one now. But I did get a publishing deal, and I worked for a church in Chicago which had a very substantial salary. So I was able to, you know, exist. Somehow, I had miracles along the way. It's what we've always been taught. But I did think, is this the best? I did say this. Why did you, to God, why me? Why not Oral or Graham? These guys are old and solid. And tell them. People will know, who's going to believe me, you know? And, you know, they can't lose at this age. Billy Graham said to me, though, in Oklahoma City, this is important. We were doing the Oklahoma bombing thing. Frank Keating had called me the night that Jim Baker preached in my conference, fresh out of prison, was the day of the bombing. I had felt it 2 weeks earlier. I had told my congregation. In a very embarrassing, humiliating breakdown in the pulpit, I started bawling and crying and stuff. I've only done that twice. And I said, something's coming. I thought it was a tornado. I see the vapor. I see the smoke. Pray, let's push it back. Y'all. And I had the whole word, push it back. Because I thought there was going to be a demonically inspired tornado during the Azusa Conference. It wasn't that, but it did. It was a bombing that took place on that Wednesday. The next day, Frank called me. The governor called me and said, "Listen, we're going to have a memorial service next Sunday. I need you to come. Can you come? This thing is really sad." And I said, "Of course, sir. I'll be there. My conference ends on Friday." He calls the next day. He says, "Man, this thing's gone nuts. CNN's coming. Satellite. The Clintons are coming. His cabinet. I need you to come early," because he told me the day before, "Billy Graham's going to eulogize him. I want you to close the thing. Give us a high note. You know how to do it, Carlton. Just get in there at the end. You're going to have you the last guy up." So then he calls and says, "Now, Graham's coming, but so is President Clinton, Hillary. I got to meet the president. I'm going to be with him all day. Would you come, please, and be with Dr. Graham all day?" It's like, dude, of course. And I was there when Graham got there. So that morning, he got in about 10. They had breakfast for us. We just like, this is the first time I've had a one-on-one conversation. The only time. We just were like hand in glove. First thing he said after we sat down to eat, Ruth was right beside him, and Frank on the other side, Franklin, and my wife and I were there. He said, you know, I've been preaching the gospel for over 50 years, and it seems to me that the world is worse. I said, what do you mean, sir? He said, I never thought I'd be coming to Oklahoma to preach a memorial for 180-some people dead because of the worst act of terrorism on American soil. He said, this isn't New York or LA, it's Oklahoma. I'm right down the road from where I dedicated your school so that we could stop this kind of stuff. He said, you young preachers just have it easy. You can jump on a supersonic plane and go anywhere in the world in hours. He said, we used to have to get on ships. If we went to India, it would take us 3 weeks to get over there. Then we weren't going to stay 3 days or even 3 weeks. Sometimes we stayed 3 months. And he said, my wife raised our kids. And he went through this whole thing. He was shaking like this. Because I had said, "What are you preaching? What's your next trip?" He said, I'm not doing much anymore. I'm semi-retired. I'm just writing my memoirs. He said, it hurts to hold a pen. Now, this big, tall, handsome, still slightly tanned face, mingly gray hair and thinning, and he's shaking like this. He came in that room shaking, and he went to every person, every chef, the butlers, everybody was at the door to receive him. And he hugged every one of them. And then we sat down, and he said, I don't even know what I'm going to say to that group today. He said, what are you going to say? I said, sir, you've almost eulogized popes. I mean, you are the Pope of Protestantism. You've done so many funerals. He said, yeah, but not like this. I'm not sure what I'm going to say. I said, I'm going to start it off with saying experience is not only what happens to us, it's what we do with what happens to us. He said, wow, I might borrow that from you. I said, you the Pope, do what you want to do. But he said, I think I've spent my life trying to convert people that I hadn't convinced. I've been all over the world.
Say that again. I'm trying to...
I've spent my life as an evangelist trying to convert people, but I hadn't convinced people. I said, of what? That God loved them. I wanted to convert them to believing that he was their Savior, Jesus. But I think I emphasize salvation over love. And I think I should just... I'm not going to try to convert people anymore. Now, if you can go online and find a conversation that he had with Robert Schuller about the same thing where they basically said that. It's actually online. His office issued a statement saying that he was having a bad day when he said that.
But Billy's office said that? No.
Yeah.
On the Schuller.
Billy's office.
Yeah.
Because of that conversation with Schuller.
With Schuller, right.
But I think he was having the best day of his life when he said that. But he was saying, He said, I'm just wondering about a lot of things. Now, this is the first time he's ever talked to me. And he just starts opening up. And he was basically lamenting that he even had to be here for that. And he was awkward with it. He said, I've been all over the world. I've been treated wonderfully all over the world, received. I love these people. I'm sure God does. But I think that I feel like I failed because the world is worse. Can you imagine that? I hadn't gotten into inclusion exactly.
But, okay, so he didn't know about your inclusion.
No, I didn't know about my inclusion.
Because it hadn't happened yet. Okay.
That was 20 years ago, almost 22 years now, so yeah. That would have been...
What a conversation 90s. You had with him.
Oh, riveting. Riveting. I couldn't believe it. And when we finished, he said, you know what? I believe we're going to hear a lot more from you. I said, why are you saying that, sir? He said, because you have a lot to say.
Yeah. You know, he'd go on with Larry King... And every time Larry or anybody else would ask him a question, he would admit, you know, we don't know.
Yes.
I can't answer that question.
Very humble man.
Larry would ask him, probably thinking, I've got you in a corner, are Jews going to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
And he'd...
He would never say no.
No, he said, he probably would say, I can't answer, or I don't have an answer for you. But a lot of people always had an answer.
Right.
But Billy would say, I don't know.
Yeah. Instead of just saying, I rely completely on Scripture, which he could have said, because that's always a way out. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'll just say what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you're this, you know. He wasn't that arrogant about it. And I loved his class when it comes to that kind of thinking. Once somebody asked him, Larry, I heard Larry ask him if his son was gay, would he put him out? He said, would he stop loving him? He said, I would love him more. Because I know others would love him less. That was way back before people were as accepting of gay people. At that time, I thought that affected me a lot because I wondered what I would say.